When the morning came, there arose across this nation peace. I had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation peace. I had this crazy dream.
Good evening and welcome to 7x70. This is Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch tonight. November 14th, 2 weeks into November. Oh my gosh, time is just flying by. But thanks for joining. Let me get the buttons pushed. We got the phone lines open tonight. Got a few current events to talk about tonight. It's an exciting time. It is. A good time. People I talked to, they liked the way the election went, the national election and the local election. A lot of people are happy with the way it turned out locally. That's kind of what's on everybody's mind, it seemed like, when I talked to them. But don't want to lose focus of certainly of how we are to be as Christians and how this affects us. But again, thanks for tuning in tonight, November 14th, 2024. And like I said, got a few current events to talk to you about tonight. Phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. But let's start out with a word of prayer. I hope that that we remember to do that, to start our day, to start events that we have, trips and major things, that we start out with prayer. Well, Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to be here. I pray your blessings on this broadcast tonight. Pray your blessings on this time of fellowship that we have, Lord, with the remnant, with each other, and Lord, in fellowship with you, and praise and worship of you, Lord. As we look at the events of the day, the things that are going on, Lord, let us remember that even if they look better here in the secular, Lord, in the physical, but Lord, let us remember you are still on the throne. You still have your plan. Lord, let it not be a time that we shrink back, a time that we think that, well, the work's been done. No, it's just a new beginning and new work to do, Lord. Help us to be encouraged by seeing Christians and believers get into positions of authority and positions of leadership. We thank you for that. Lord, as we pray for our leaders, Lord, we know that you hear and answer our prayers, and we thank you for that. Well, Lord, I pray for a good broadcast tonight. I pray that you would be with me, Lord, that as we talk about current events and your scriptures we read from your word, Lord, that it is encouraging to your people. I thank you for the opportunity to be here. Let all that we do glorify you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And again, we do let you know the phone lines are open tonight, 307-745-5913, if you'd like to give a call in. And I want to start out in Ephesians. Got a scripture verse, Ephesians 5, verse 6 and 7, that I think it's a good thing for us to always remember. And Ephesians 5, because the times that we're in, these are words of wisdom for us. I can tell you that. Ephesians 5, 6, and 7 says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them." So we see that God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. And apparently, they want you to partner up with them and deceive you with empty words. And so we don't want that. No, we don't. We want to have the words of truth. That's for sure. I think one that goes along with that is 1 Samuel 12. 1 Samuel 12, verse 15 says, "But if you disobey the Lord and rebel against his command, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your father." Now, I don't know why these scriptures aren't used to be taught by the Judeo-Christians. I do know why they don't use these to teach, because these teach obedience. These teach doing what God's word says to do. And so we don't see a lot of, we don't hear a lot of preaching and teaching on that. We don't see a lot of, see what happened? See, when you obeyed God, the blessings, we don't see that. But boy, look at California. You know, now California does, I think, rebel against his command. I want to read something to you. I've got this. I was going to bring it up a little bit later. But when California became a state, 1879, okay, 1879, in the preamble of California, it says, "We, the people of the state of California, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom." That's how the preamble, that's how the state constitution started in California in 1879. I've got a list here that points that out to all 50 states. All 50 state constitutions, when they were started, they honored God in their preambles, in their Bill of Rights, or in their texts. Even California. So, but what have they done now? Well, now they've turned away. Have you seen the destruction? Hadn't been on the news a lot, but over 100 homes destroyed, Southern California wildfires, Santa Ana winds, 50 to 75 mile per hour winds, mountain fire, they call it, in Ventura County, consumed more than 20,000, I think it's up to about 30,000 acres now, but just massive destruction once again. We see that. And again, when we see it in the scripture, that's our job, is to share it with you. And that scripture, again, to share with you, First Samuel 12, 15. "If you disobey and rebel against his command." See, when California was founded, when every state in this nation was founded, there was no separation of church and state. That's a communist lie burped up out of the pits of hell. Don't let anybody ever tell you that that's in the preamble, that's in the Constitution, that's in the Bill of Rights. The only place that shows up in our country in the Founding Fathers was, I think, Thomas Jefferson mentioned it, one thing, in a totally different context. And he was just writing a letter to someone else. It wasn't like he was presenting a law brief or, you know, hey, here's the 14th Amendment or the 12th Amendment or the Second Bill. Nothing. No, there's separation of church and state in the Communist Manifesto. And I mention this because, you know, the times, they seem that they're changing. And so when I mention these things like this disobedience in California, and I want to talk a little bit about a few more economic woes, just some things, I hope that we can look at them in contrast, that we can see that this is, and remember, this is how it was in November of 2024. So that when it's better, we can compare it. You know, I know that gas has dropped from $3.39 to $2.89 now, and everybody's just hooping and hollering over that. It wasn't that long ago. I remember it was $1.34. And that's not my childhood. No, that was just like in 2019. And so I look forward to that again. I hope that we do. You know, but for right now, this side of that hopefully better economic times coming, Nissan has cut 9,000 jobs. Let's see, American Freight, a big furniture and appliance retailer, closing all their stores amid bankruptcy. Same company owns Pet Supplies Plus and the Vitamin Shop. And so we're seeing over 6,000 stores have already closed in 2024. Fastest in the last 4 years. Store closures up 60% year after year. Walgreens, Family Dollar, Big Lots, LL Flooring, Conn's, Home Plus, Rue 21, Express, all have closed stores this year. And that is reflective. And you know, if I don't really shop at these stores, I can tell you that. I don't, you know. Walgreens, thank God, I don't have to go to the drugstore a lot. And I don't shop there. Family Dollar, we have a Dollar General here in Laramie. I stop by there every now and then, but we don't have Family Dollars out here or Big Lots or that. So, you know, when I first see this, it's like, well, that doesn't affect me. But guess what? It does affect many. And it's reflective of the economy. That it doesn't matter what the talking heads in the media say about how inflation is slowing and we're in a comeback and a spring back and everything looks better and all. You know, prices are still out there and businesses are still closing. And so, because they have put their faith in the wrong place. See, they have put their faith away from God and they put their faith in that small A, almighty dollar, because it's not almighty, and it's just not working out. These last 4 years haven't worked out. Now, I'm excited about the next four. I'll tell you that. Couple scriptures here. Let's go back to the word Proverbs 11:4. Proverbs 11:4 says, "Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath." How about that? Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Well, I'd rather look towards righteousness than I would wealth. Because righteousness delivers and wealth is worthless in the day of wrath. Now, doesn't mean you can't be wealthy. Just means you have to have it in the right perspective. Don't expect it to deliver you. Don't expect it to be your salvation. And I don't think many of the remnant that tune into these broadcasts feel that way. But again, I think it's a good one that we can use with our not knowing friends and family. Proverbs 11:4. And you can tie that in with Deuteronomy 8:18. Okay. No, not going to Deuteronomy 28 tonight, the curses and the blessings. I think most of you know that pretty good, pretty well by now. But Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors, as it is today." Now, see, there's no conflict in those two scriptures. In Proverbs saying wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, and Deuteronomy 8:18 saying remember that it's the Lord your God who gives you the ability to produce wealth. I think he wants his people to be wealthy and healthy and wise and God-fearing. But it all has to be in the proper perspective. You know, this here in Deuteronomy where it says, remember the Lord your God, it is he who gives you the ability. You know, when you look in Romans 1 at all the you know, what was being said there, it was because they did not acknowledge God. They did not acknowledge God. Let's just flip over there. I've got my Bible here in front of me. Acts and Romans and, yeah, that's right where we want to go. And right there at the beginning, because again, it explains, it tells us why we have the mess in the land today. Verse 28, Romans 1:28, "And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer. God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, on and on and on. And the last verse there in chapter 1 says that, and although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. See, that's all because they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer. I have this list of the 50 constitutions, the 50 state constitutions, where each one of them acknowledges God. And see, so at one time they did, but as Romans 1:28 says, they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer. And look at what happens to them. Look at the destruction that comes in California. How about Colorado? Colorado, in 1876, we, the people of Colorado, with profound reverence for the supreme ruler of the universe. Maryland in 1776, we, the people of the state of Maryland, grateful to Almighty God for our civil and religious liberty. How about Wyoming in 1890? We, the people of the state of Wyoming, grateful to God for our civil, political, and religious liberties, establish this Constitution. See, each one did. I'll be glad to run copies, send this to you if you'd like. And it is just, at one time, our states felt it so important that it was in their state constitutions to acknowledge God. But now they don't. And so the destruction is there for those that don't. It's just that simple. It is just that simple. So, you know, we can take Romans 1. You can just take Romans 1 and read through it and share it with your unbelieving friends, with your New Testament Christian friends, and say, guess what? Guess what? This is why. And then flip right over to Romans 6, and you can read about baptism. So I encourage you to do that. Romans 1, why we have this sin in the land, and Romans 6, you can get right to baptism and take them there. Well, things are looking a little up. Had the election, and I can tell you when my wife and I both voted here in town. We voted a little early, and I've told people I sure felt outnumbered. Took us about an hour. We were in line and saw one other person in that whole time that I knew. And almost everybody else was students and just people based on their blue hair and their, you know, stickers on their jacket about trans kids matters and all this stuff. I didn't know them. Different circles. Our city, our county voted red. I think that, as we've talked about earlier, a little bit of common sense has come back, and that is a good thing. A good thing. Colorado voters, boy, they 1.3 million of them anyway, put a extra excise tax on guns and ammo. And so that, talked to a couple people down there, they weren't too happy about that. But I'm hearing things about what they call the Trump effect, because President Trump was elected, and the Trump effect, and I saw a couple things earlier in the week, and then I saw a couple today in the news that I thought I would share, and because again, Trump is not perfect. He is not the savior. He has acknowledged that, and he's acknowledged that Jesus Christ is our savior. That is certainly better than others have done. And so, former President Trump, President-elect Trump got elected. Did you hear that the European Union chief wants to replace the Russian liquid natural gas that they buy with American gas imports? European Commission Chief Ursula von der Leyen suggested that the European Union will look to replace Russian liquid natural gas imports with supplies from the United States. Now, this was, I think, Friday, okay? And it's almost Friday again, so this was almost a week ago. This was just one of the things that that we saw come out. And it just continues. And it's the world leaders and the world's reaction. It's not that, oh, they love Trump, but I think they're concerned about the economy and know that it's a good thing. Trump's talking about putting, he did nominate, I guess, Robert F. Kennedy, right, for, I wrote it down, what, Department of Health and Human Services to head that, HHS. And, you know, Kennedy, he's an anti-vaxxer, was a anti-Trumper and came on board. And I think it's because he truly loves the country. I think he does. Now, is he perfect? No. Do I agree with him with everything? No. Just like I probably don't agree with you on everything, and you don't agree with me on everything. But hopefully we can both agree that we love the nation, that we love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we know that the more we can turn away from evil, and the more people we can turn away from evil, the better off we will be. So I think that's a good thing. Did you hear what happened up in New York City? New York City Mayor Eric Adams, a week ago today, and I've been looking for some follow-up, and I think this is just growing and growing. I didn't get a chance to get a follow-up on this today, but a week ago today, he announced that New York City is ending its free debit card program for illegal immigrants in the city's shelters. Now, you couldn't pass a law to make that happen because they just did it because they wanted to do it. But all of a sudden, a week ago today, they say, oh, we're not going to do that anymore. Now, why do you think that is? Why do you think that is? It's called the Trump effect. This last week, for the last week, stocks have soared. They've grown more than they've grown in the last 4 years. Because the outlook looks better. It does. You know, we talked a few weeks ago about Matthew 12:37. I brought it up on a Sunday morning in the review of the news. And it's a good one for us to remember. Matthew 12:37 says, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Okay? By your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And, I brought that up a few weeks ago when Vice President Kamala Harris was at a rally and somebody shouted out, "Jesus Christ is Lord and King," and she said, "Oh, you at the wrong rally," and everybody cheered her, and they ran the people off. And when you contrast that, I mean, that still gives me shivers down my spine, because that is that is, I think, a dangerous thing to be doing. But you know, some quotes from President-elect Trump: "Our country has a savior. It's Jesus Christ." Trump has praised the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus and has talked about America's, quote, miraculous founding as he's addressed churches. And so, it's kind of like we'll see. We will see. If we've all been deceived, well, we're not supposed to be deceived. We're not supposed to be. We're supposed to guard ourselves and not be deceived. So hopefully... hopefully we're not. But, the recent, just this last week, got a couple the appointments that President Trump is making. No, it's not right in line with Old Testament, Old Israel policies. No, it's not. But, you know, we're not in the Old Testament anymore. And we're not over in the old land anymore. We're not. We're a new nation that was formed in a day, bringing the tribes of Israel back together to glorify Jesus Christ. And we started out that way, as I've said, in every state's constitution, in our nation's first documents. Nope, not perfect, but glorifying God, acknowledging God, not forgetting about Him. At least that's how we started. And so I'm encouraged that President Trump has got Robert F. Kennedy proposed to run Health and Human Services. So they can hopefully break up some of the monopoly of the big pharma and their control on this nation. And hopefully can get a little more common sense into the vaccination scams that are going on. And hopefully people will wake up a little bit more. I hope so. Can't guarantee it. I'm not, you know, betting my boots and throwing in my spurs and everything else on that. No, my hope and surety is still Jesus Christ. But if by this nomination and Kennedy being an anti-vaxxer can get in and can shed some light on the warnings and dangers of vaccinations, well, we had a pastor that has been teaching and taught on that for 30 or 40 years, and we still put those teachings out because it's truth. And so it's good that some of this truth has made it up to the highest levels in our nation. In our nation's government. That's good. That's better. I think so anyway. I do. I saw President Trump had nominated Tulsi Gabbard as National Intelligence Director, or Director of National Intelligence, I guess is what they say. A few years ago, she was she's in the military, I think the reserves. A few years ago, she was a Democrat and a never-Trumper. But I think she loves this country, and she wants what's right. I see that with Getz that was nominated for Attorney General. I think he's been trying to do what's right. And what happens when you do that, especially up there? Oh, they lie about him. They charge him. They say, oh, we're charging you with all kind of things. It's all unfounded. But that's what the enemy does. And so and they're upset. The enemy is. The enemies of Christ are not real happy with these nominations that are going in, that are going on. I saw kind of a side note, then I'll get off politics, I guess. But side note, I saw a report, I guess it was early this morning, that the last little last hurrah the Democrats did was they got all these Hollywood elites together and, you know, to try to sway the vote. And old Miss Oprah was one of them. And then it came out that they had to pay Oprah $1 million to do that. $1 million that Vice President Harris and the Democrat National Committee or whoever had to pay Oprah to show up and glad hand her and say, vote for Kamala. That's the greatest thing ever. And just what she's just a paid actor. Well, again, the contrast, you know, we talk a lot about contrast. You see, maybe how these enemies of Christ have done their best to destroy this nation and how hopefully there's some common sense coming back. But, the article was, Danica Patrick, she, was NASCAR race driver for a while. Now I don't know what she's doing now. I remember the name, one of the first NASCAR female drivers. Said she came out and said she was going to let everybody know, you know, Oprah got $1 million. I'm going to tell you what President Trump paid me, she said, to come out and support him. And you read on in the article and she says, you know, the wardrobe got pretty expensive. I guess she had some Trump dresses and all kind of things. And Finally, she came back and said, you know, he didn't pay me anything. I did it for free because I love this country and I want this country to be better. Now, I mention this because, see, we're seeing a wide variety of people that have had their eyes opened. Remnant, it's because you have been praying, because we have been praying, all of us, you, me, all of the remnant have been praying, have been crying out to God for people's eyes to be opened. And so we're seeing men and women have their eyes opened in positions of authority. We're seeing people that have an influence, you know, whether it's Joe Rogan or Charlie Kirk or Dan Bongino or Danica Patrick or Tulsi Gabbard. People are waking up. And they're turning away from this insanity that is almost taken over. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You know, internationally, it's still a mess. You got North Korean troops fighting in the Ukraine. They're fighting for Russia because they've got an alliance. They're fighting Ukrainians in the Ukraine. Good, bad, or indifferent, none of us know exactly what's going on over there. I've talked to people that have been there fighting, and they say that, you know, they've told me there's just as much corruption in their government as there is in ours. But a lot of the, you know, just the farmers, the people out there that have become soldiers, they're just regular people, a lot of them, just like us. And, you know, Haiti is still a mess. That's not very far off the coast of Florida. Haiti, still a mess, shooting passenger jets. Did you hear about that? They've canceled passenger jet service there. They had a jet coming in to land, and somebody started shooting at it, hit it, caused a little bit of damage, injured a stewardess. Boy, how come they're not talking about that? How come they're not talking about the raging black lawlessness gangs down there that are shooting passenger jets? See, they don't talk about that on CNN or MSNBC because it doesn't further the enemy's agenda. So I'm looking forward to that getting cleaned up as well. I am. Well, again, folks, phone lines are open tonight, 307-745-5913. I'm hoping and praying things do get a little bit better. I would sure like to see lower gasoline prices. I would sure like to see more affordable groceries. I would like to see less insanity in the public education system, you know, and children get a true education and not indoctrination into the evils of the world. I saw a note earlier today to pray for a family as their children transition into homeschooling. And that's a good thing. It really is. You know, we homeschooled our children. You know, before my wife and I got married and had children, we'd never heard of homeschooling. But as we became Christians and started reading the Bible and understanding who we are, it made more and more sense. And that was 30 years ago that we started. And it's all but a necessity today. It really is. It really is. Well, one more thing on politics. I did see this headline today. I didn't get to print it out, but I made a note of it. I wanted to share it with you. There's a gift for Trump that is being prepared. And it was that Israel, Netanyahu, pushing forward and fast-tracking a Lebanon ceasefire as a gift to Trump. Now, if you recall back in 2016, 2017, when President Trump first got elected, he got the Abrahamic Peace Accords signed. Now, it was not a lasting peace, but I don't think that it was the type of peace talked about in the Bible, but it was peace in our times. Contributed to 4 years of almost no global conflict. And I think we're going to see part of that again. I truly do. I think that that we can look forward to that. I hope so. I hope so. You know, I have sons that are serving active duty in the armed forces. And I know that there's many of the remnant that are in the same position. And so I hope that we don't have global conflict. But, you know, I do more than hope. I pray. I pray that we don't. I pray for godly leaders in the land. I pray for the leaders that we have, whether they're the new ones or the ones that have been there. And I hope we all do that. Pray for them to be godly leaders. Pray for them to come into proper relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Pray for them to have a Damascus Road experience, if that's what it takes. Pray for them to have their eyes opened, right? That is what we're told to do. That is what Paul wrote to Timothy, right? In 1 Timothy 2, 1 Timothy 1, he's writing to him, and he says in verse 5, the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Love from a pure heart and a good conscience. You know, if we were to love our God and love our neighbor, if we love our neighbor, we sure don't want him killed in a global conflict or his children. And so then he goes on, talks about the law is good if it's used lawfully, that the law is not made for righteous, but for the lawless. He doesn't say it was done away with, Timothy. Don't you understand that when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross, that law was nailed to the cross with him? That's not what Paul wrote. No, he said that the law is there. The law is there. And he writes another verse down here that I can sure relate with. You know, down to verse 15, it says, he says, Tim, it's a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. And I can say amen to that. I can step up to the podium and be part of that team. But thank God that he came to save us, and he did. And then he says in verse 18, he says, this command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight, keeping faith in a good conscience, right? Remember, love is right in there. Love is in there, fighting the good fight. That's what we are to be doing. And then in verse 2, he says, first of all, then, I urge you that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, we know that all men will not be saved, and God knows. God alone knows who will and who won't. That's not for us to decide. What we are to do is offer entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving. Thanksgivings on behalf of all men, for kings and those who are in authority. And I truly believe that that happened this year. See, I think people's hearts were softened. I think that that the election was up in the air. We had Hurricane Helene come in and rip the living stew out of Western North Carolina. A hurricane destroy Western North Carolina. And the videos that came out were heart-wrenching. And the stories that came out were just families ripped away from each other. Homes washed away with people in them. Towns gone. And then what happened? Well, then Hurricane Milton formed in the Gulf overnight. Went from a tropical storm to a Type 5, fixing to have to make a new category, Type 6, the biggest, baddest that there's ever been. And here it is, it's grown, had the lowest millibars or whatever ever recorded. 180-mile-an-hour winds, 220-mile-an-hour gusts, and had its eye right on Central Florida, fixing to cut Florida in half. And I can tell you what I was doing. I told you what I was doing. I was praying. And many people were praying. Many people were asking for prayers. I think the heart of America was softened. They saw what happened in Western North Carolina, and then they saw it coming again and fixing to happen to Central Florida. And there were prayers lifted up, and there were praises to God lifted up, and there was fasting and mourning and crying out to God. And our God is so great that when His people do that, He hears and He listens. And the day before that massive, almost a hurricane category 6 hurricane was fixing to rip into Florida, it calmed down. It went from a 5 to a 4 to a 3. And when it came on shore, 100-mile-an-hour winds. Now, that's pretty still pretty devastating, no doubt about it. But that's a whole lot better than 220-mile-an-hour gusts, I can tell you. And people had time to prepare and to evacuate, and they did. And it came on shore, and it came across, and I have 3 different family members that were in the direct path that it passed over. I've shared this with you. And we talked with each one of them, and we were praying, letting them know we were praying for them and with them, and they were asking for prayers. And 2 of them didn't even lose power. Had a few limbs down. Had a little bit of flooding. There were some intersections, some roads, and some places there in Central Florida. I mean, it's half swamp anyway. There was some flooding. There was some loss of life, but not near what it could have been. And then it eased on out the other side of the state, and the cleanup began. And they're still cleaning up. There's no doubt about it. They're still cleaning up. It's not, you know, it's not like, just nothing happened. No, not at all. I don't mean to come across that way. But Florida was spared. Floridians were spared. Because I think America's heart was softened. They saw what had happened in Western North Carolina, and they cried out to God, and they were doing. They didn't sit on the couch and pray. There were many that were doing. If they couldn't go help cut trees and clean up, they donated. They sent food and stuff and help, and they prayed. And we saw deliverance. And I think that softening of their hearts, that again was a moving in the right direction, a moving of seeing that, we've got to pray to God. We have got to pray. We've got to seek His face while we can. We've got to ask Him to heal this land. You know, the Monday before the election, there was a call. We put the call out for prayer at 6 p.m. your time. I hope you prayed. I know a lot of people did because I saw the result. When God's people pray to Him, He hears and He answers. And this wasn't put out by a big church or a big organization. No, I had just people from different churches, different denominations, send me emails and texts and social posts and say, hey, we're Christians are praying 6 p.m. on Monday. Let's pray for our nation. Pray 2 Chronicles 7:14. See, because people all over, they understand that. They do. I believe it. That's sure what the way I see it. 2 Chronicles 7:14. I hope you prayed it. I hope you do. I hope you continue to. You know, it's listed under God's promise and warning. And starting in verse 13, God says, if I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and I can tell you right here that, you know, Texas is in need of rain. It is. The Midwest is in need of rain. There's a drought on, and Texas is under fire danger right now. And boy, we have the locust among us, don't we? And the pestilence, heart disease and cancer and antibiotic-resistant tuberculosis, and you name it. We've got the pestilence in this land. So God says, but if I do all those things, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. Now, was this done 100% in every nook and no? No. But I think it happened in places. And I think as Americans cried out and prayed for a better economy, prayed for God's will to be done, spoke to a sister in New York today, and that's what she told me. She said, you know, I didn't pray for President Trump to win. She said, I prayed for God to heal our land. I prayed for God to save us. And she said, He's saving us now. And that's a good thing. That's how it happens. It really is. And you know, when we see here, and again, you can talk with your Judeo-Christian friends and point them to this. My people who are called by my name. My people who are called by my name. You know, my dad could say that. You know, he could say, my people, my family who are called by my name, my name's Parrish, and so we are Parrishes, my people, who are called by my name. You know, I can say that about my boys and my daughters. My last name is Parrish, P-A-R-R-I-S-H, a derivative of P-A-R-I-S-H, which means of the church. How about that? But those are my people, my sons and my daughters and my grandchildren. They're called by my name, same last name. See how that works? So who is God talking about? My people who are called. What people are called by His name? Yahwehites? No. Lordites? No. Lordens? How about when He became flesh and dwelt among us? It was called Jesus Christ. And those that follow Him are called Christians. Now, 2 Chronicles 7:14 is Old Testament. Same testament, same story. When my people, when Christians when my people who are called by my name, my people who are called Christians, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, yet be doers of the word and not hearers only, when there's repentance and crying out, he says, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. That's you and me, brother. That's you and me. His people called by his name. No, not lies, not Israel lies, but Christians. It was so then. Oh, they didn't call them that, but they do now. Well, I'm out of voice. I'm out tonight. Thanks for tuning in. Hope it was an encouragement to you. God is good, you know. First Samuel 12:15. If you disobey the Lord and rebel against His command, the hand of the Lord will be against you. What if we don't disobey? What if we turn from that and repent? Well, then guess what? His hand is not against us. And then it's, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And that's a good thing. It is. Well, Remnant, we hope you can enjoy join us Saturday morning for coffee. I want to invite you now to come have a cup of coffee with us. Join us for fellowship and praise right here on the Scriptures for America Broadcasting Network. 7 a.m. Mountain Time Saturday morning, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern, and 6 a.m. on the West Coast. We hope you can join us for coffee with the Wranglers. Well, folks, we'll talk to you then.